Very nice. Scripture reading today comes from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 12. Christ is just like the human body. A body is a unit and has many parts, and all the parts of the body are one body, even though there are many. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and we were given one Spirit to drink. Certainly, the body isn't just one part, but many. If the foot says, "I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand," does that mean it's not part of the body? If the ear says, "I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye," does that mean it's not part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, what would happen to the hearing? And if the whole body were an ear, what would happen to the sense of smell? But as it is, God has placed each one of the parts in the body just like He wanted. If all were one in the same body part, what would happen to the body? But as it is, there are many parts, but one body. So the eye can't say to the hand, "I don't need you," or in turn, the head can't say to the feet, "I don't need you." Instead, the parts of the body that people think are the weakest are the most necessary. The parts of the body that we think less honorable are the ones we honor the most. The private parts of our body aren't presentable are parts ones that are given the most dignity. The parts of our body that are presentable don't need this. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the part with less honor, so that it won't be division in one body, so the parts have mutual concern for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part gets the glory, all the parts celebrate with it. You are the body of Christ and the parts of each other. In the church, God has appointed first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and then miracles, then gifts of healing and ability to help others. Leadership skills, different kinds of tongues. Aren't all apostles, are they? All aren't prophets, are they? All aren't teachers, are they? All don't perform miracles, do they? All don't have gifts of healing, do they? All don't speak in different tongues, do they? All don't interpret, do they? Use your ambition to try to get greater gifts. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, did you make any New Year's resolutions? How's that going for you by the end of January? The waning of resolve is difficult to avoid over time. Makers of self-improvement, marketers of self-improvement go crazy with January deals. Gyms everywhere fill up every year early in January. Resolve runs high, but commitment falls short. Why do you think that's true? Maybe it's because of the amount of effort that it takes to do new things like work out in the gym. Or maybe it's because we're striving for perfection or at least expecting to see more results more quickly. Does it take long to figure out that we're never going to have a perfect body? Social imaging has tried to convince us that perfection is what we're striving for, whether it's a reality or not. That causes a lot of angst when perfection is beyond our reach. Is having a perfect body necessary? I certainly hope not. There is life, vitality, purpose, and meaning available regardless of body image or ability. Worth and dignity are not dependent upon perfection, not for human bodies or any other kind of body. Could it be that brokenness might be an attribute? Could brokenness open up more potential? In today's scripture reading, Paul uses the analogy of the human body to talk about the church. Sometimes congregations feel pressure to be perfect. Not that we shouldn't strive to be the best we can be, but if the goal is perfection, maybe Paul should have chosen something other than a human body as an analogy. How could vulnerability and brokenness be a potential asset to us, even as a congregation? Debbie Blue is glad you asked. She says, God reveals God's self most fully, the Christian church professes, not as a rational system or a set of ethics, not as an unchanging principle or some magisterial deity, but as a vulnerable human being. Maybe that's where we've gone wrong. We're prone to turn to doctrines we have been taught when trying to find God. Our search for God is driven by our understanding, which might be helpful, but always comes up short of the perfect words that will fully explain God. Maybe we've become fixated on God as that magisterial deity that Debbie Blue mentioned, the rule giver. Again, our attempts to approach God by perfectly abiding by the rules and the commandments remind us how far we are away from God rather than how present God is to us. Could Debbie Blue be right? Does God reveal God's self most fully as a vulnerable human being? What does that even mean? Maybe she's thinking about Jesus. In the opening chapter of John's Gospel, John writes about the Word, Jesus, becoming flesh and dwelling among us. John says, we have seen his glory, glory like that of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Jesus whom John portrayed was indeed a vulnerable human being. We see his vulnerability as a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. We see him among the vulnerable poor as he is laid in a manger. We see his vulnerability as his body is broken in death. Yet, God was fully revealed through his life, earthly ministry, and his broken body. A body broken for us that we might become the body of Christ. But must we be perfect to be the body of Christ? Or is there something about vulnerability and brokenness that is somehow essential to our being the body of Christ in our world? In his letter to the church at Corinth, Paul challenges a community fraught with discord to grow in maturity and discipleship. In chapter 12, he reminds them and us that their template for understanding the connectivity and the unity, the mission, if you will, to which they have been called can be seen in the human body. Paul's analogy of the human body is not only easy to understand. I mean, we all have a human body. There are several ways of thinking about the church as the body of Christ that can help us understand how Christ can be revealed in and through the church, despite or maybe even because of our brokenness. Paul's way of declaring that God reveals God's self most fully as a vulnerable human being is to say, Christ is just like the human body. A body is a unit that has many parts, and all the parts of the body are one body, even though there are many. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Debbie Blue finds Paul to be surprisingly graphic here for a guy who seems uncomfortable with the woman's hair being exposed. He writes about our less honorable parts, saying we need all the parts. As you look through our annual report today, think of how many parts it takes for our body to exist, regardless of the stature. It takes the same parts for a small body as it does for a larger one. Because none of us are capable of being or doing everything that is needed, we are vulnerable on our own. We need all the parts, leaders and followers, young and old, teachers and students, extroverts and introverts, cooks and musicians, in-person and virtual worshipers. Each member provides unique gifts and functions to contribute to the living and thriving of the body of Christ, not despite all of our differences, but because of all of our variations. We cannot do on our own what we can do by working together as one body. We cannot understand or discover the full beauty of the body of Christ, the fullest revelation of God, until we include all the parts that make up the body. And inclusion, by the way, goes beyond recognizing or tolerating each part of the body. It involves cherishing and honoring every member of the body, not for the benefit the body may receive from that member, but for the value of each and every member in and of themselves, simply because each one is a member of the body. Being human carries not only worth and dignity, but it also carries an inherent vulnerability. We all have frailties and needs because we are human. As such, to be the body of Christ, we must care for the needs of one another, regardless of proximity to one another and regardless of the sacrifice such care might demand. Heidi Haverkamp reminds us that we are the body of Christ. Christ's wounds are in us and in our neighbors, and yet there are ways we ignore them or overlook them. How can we as Christians look at those wounds, the needs of others, and put our hands out to touch them in a way that honors them? How can we care for others in a way that makes it known that we are the body of Christ in the world? I don't think the early believers spent a lot of time developing a plan for ministry. I don't think they filled their week with webinars or Zoom calls to talk about it. I think they just did what needed to be done. Mundane things, small, necessary tasks that would meet the needs of one another. They didn't stop to ask themselves if they were doing it right. They just looked at it from the perspective of caring for one another. They made decisions and lived out those decisions from the perspective that they were one body. They were, as Paul says, baptized by one Spirit into one body. The things they did revealed whose body they were. They were the body of Christ. Together, they were the vulnerable human beings who most fully revealed God. Debbie Blue reminds us, as only she can do, that we don't have to be perfect to be the body of Christ. God can be and is made known even through our brokenness. She says, Epiphany is about the church shining its light in the world. It's a funny sort of light, like a neon sign with half of its letters burnt out, some blinking hurch, urch, hurch, urch. It is broken and bent and dim, but still giving off its light with its witness to the world's need for the grace of God. Our annual report captures what might be a funny sort of light, a compilation of how, despite or maybe because of our brokenness, of our weakness, God has once again been revealed most fully as a vulnerable human being through this body of Christ. The good news is that we are not called to be perfect. Rather, we are called to be faithful. While being the perfect body of Christ might be beyond our reach, let our commitment be unwavering as we continue to reveal God most fully by being the broken body of Christ in our world. We are the heart. Karen Drucker's song says, we are the heart, we are the hands, we are the body of Christ on earth. And who we are and all we do is a blessing to the world. We're a blessing to the world. We are the heart, we are the hands, we are the body of Christ on earth. Amen.